Back in those days, Zacchaeus was famous for being sort of a terrible person. Today, he is famous for being short. If he was not short, he would not have climbed up a tree. And if he did not climb up a tree, he would not have seen Jesus. And also, Jesus would not have seen him. And if Jesus did not see him, he would not have invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for lunch. And if Jesus had not done that, the people would not have grumbled and complained about how Zacchaeus was a very bad person. And then Zacchaeus would not have given half his money to the poor and returned four times the amount of money that he stole from the people. But the most important thing that would not have happened if Zacchaeus had not climbed that tree, he would not have received the greatest gift that God can give, which is Jesus coming into his heart, the home of his own self, his own person, the salvation of his eternal soul. Well, we can conclude that God loves most of all those people who are rich and not very tall. But that's not the point, is it? Today, we need to look a little deeper at what is going on. This is not a story about Harry Potter or Luke Skywalker or Dumbledore. I have no idea who Dumbledore is, and I've never read Harry Potter, but I do know about Luke Skywalker. But none of those three is a story about a real person. This is a story that the gospel writer Luke had checked out the facts about something that had happened while Jesus was just passing through Jericho and met a man named Zacchaeus. Luke devotes the whole tone of his gospel towards embracing the poor and lonely. And yet, this time he includes the passage about the salvation of a rich and powerful man. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. That means that he had power and money. That's a successful life, isn't it? Zacchaeus was at the top of the pyramid scheme that was the Roman taxation system. Yet for some reason, something was going on inside of him. He must have been thinking about his own life and his unhappiness that was gnawing at him. I wonder if there's ever been a time in your life when you wondered if there might be something more to this life than that we are just passing through. Have you ever wondered if financial security and having nice things around you or even being liked by other people might not be enough for true happiness? I certainly have wondered about those things. And at those times, I am more like Zacchaeus than I want to admit. At those times, I have considered whether Jesus Christ might be the answer to my questions, to the emptiness within me. Zacchaeus must have heard about Jesus. How else can we explain how interested he was in seeing him? Something must have been working in him for some time. This couldn't have been just a sudden desire for something that he did not have. It certainly would not have been to his advantage to follow a wandering teacher or a miracle worker. That would not have raised his status in the community. And yet, that day, he wanted more than anything to see Jesus. I don't think he knew that he was going to be giving away a lot of his money or back to the poor or to those he had defrauded. But that day, he was willing to look foolish in front of all the people that he knew in that town. Why would anyone come to a point in his or her life that he would give up anything to hear Jesus say, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man has come to seek out and to save the lost"? What does it take for us to get to the point that we are realized that we are lost? Well, a few lessons suggest themselves from the readings today. First is that all the people there were right about Zacchaeus. He was definitely a sinner. But they were very wrong about something else. They missed the point that they were all sinners. They wouldn't like to hear it. They wouldn't like to hear me say it. But the only really important difference between the rest of the people and Zacchaeus is that he knew he was a sinner in need of saving, and they did not. That's why only he was able to hear Jesus' desire to come into his home. The next lesson I would suggest is that in order to receive the salvation and the full happiness that God has in store is to be seeking Jesus. Only those who are seeking him will find him. It's kind of true that if we're not seeking Jesus, we're not going to find him. Only those who know that they are lost can be found. It's a basic principle. And the amazing thing is that when we finally begin to seek in earnest, we will realize that he has been seeking us all along. When we see him, we will notice that he sees us and that he has been looking at us with love all along. A significant moment in my life of faith happened when I was, many years ago, when I was driving my wife and at the time two young children to a home for a gathering out in the country. It was out in the Northwest beyond Cochrane somewhere. I wouldn't even know where to find that place today. But I got absolutely lost on the gravel roads with no sign of where to turn. Pitch dark, and I began to be afraid for my family. I began to be afraid that I wasn't going to be able to lead them to where we had to go. To top it off, for some reason, I couldn't see the ditch on the side of the road, and I kept weaving towards it, and I kept being in danger of driving right into it. So it was at that moment that I prayed for help. Something suggested to my mind to stop the car, get out, and see if my headlights were working. And it turned out they were covered with a coating of dust, making them almost useless. Great image of sight, isn't it? When I cleaned off the lenses and got back in, everything looked different. I could see. And not long after, the lights of the house became visible, and it turned out that is exactly where we were going. And it could not have happened, I believe, unless I had turned to God. I've never forgotten that day when, in my own sense of powerlessness, I turned my situation over to Jesus. A small incident, perhaps, but for me, significant. The Book of Wisdom tells us that the whole world is like a speck to God. It's like a drop of morning dew. It's very small. It's like Zacchaeus. And yet that world, that drop of morning dew, has almost unimaginable beauty. Someone said that almost every single poet who has ever lived at some point has written a poem about the morning dew. Soon at Mass, we will hear the priest say, at the moment of bread and wine being transformed into God's gift to us, the real body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus, he will say, "Let your spirit come upon these gifts like the dewfall." It's an image of great beauty, which will be used to indicate the awesome beauty and presence of Jesus Christ becoming fully present to us right here today. But to really see that presence, we will all have to become at least a little bit like Zacchaeus, to climb up a tree so that we can see it from a greater height. We have to be seeking God to realize what the writer of Wisdom says: "You are merciful to all, and you overlook people's sins so that they may repent." God kind of makes a space for us so that we can see that the path we are on is a dangerous one that leads away from him. It won't happen all at once. Even Zacchaeus must have been thinking about it for a while. Listen again to Wisdom. "You correct, little by little, those who trespass, and you remind and warn them of the things through which they sin, so that they may be freed from wickedness and put their trust in you, O Lord." What a beautiful way to put it. Little by little, we come to know Jesus. Our experience can never match the salvation that God wants to give us. We can be short or tall, poor or rich. No one is outside that love. And Jesus wants to have supper with us in our house, which in Scripture means not our physical house. Even more, he wants to come into the center of our being and to feed our hearts with his love. So today, our challenge is to see ourselves as Zacchaeus. We can't see the truth on our own. We have to get high enough to see it. And after making the effort, we will be ready to see him, and he will see us. And actually, we will realize that he always sees us. But when we start to seek him, we notice that he sees us. I have to stay at your house, he says. In the Gospels, this means your heart. Jesus is asking for permission to come right into where we live, not into our living room to watch TV and drink beer or juice, but right into the center of our existence. Don't be frightened by the idea of having to give away so much. Zacchaeus had spent his whole life gathering all that he could, cheating people, being hated. But when he received the blessing that Jesus wanted to come to him, it was his joy to give it away. We will never be asked to give away what we want to keep for ourselves. Do you see that this is how God works? People misunderstand God, I think, in a lot of ways, all of us. He doesn't want what we are afraid to give him. He only wants what we are happy to give him. God doesn't need anything that we have, so we can't buy his love with it. When you see Jesus, you will know who he is if you are seeking him, and only if you are seeking him. And all who seek him will find him. No one who doesn't seek him will find him. If we seek him with all of our heart, if we desire to see him, if we are willing to climb up that tree, if we are willing to trust in him so that he may come to us, into our homes, and eat with us.